Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. There are 1,000 people whom we suspect of foreign interference. We can say spying. We have got that story. Plus, you've been CrowdStrike struck. But first, the sequel to last week's coverage, withdrawal of Joe Biden from the 2024 United States presidential election. James, with some of these massive stories these last couple of weeks, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, you might have noticed I've just grabbed a Wikipedia entry. It's the easiest way to get the blow-by-blow of the official story. And then, of course, we can all take it from there. On July 21st, 2024, Joe Biden, the incumbent president of the United States, announced his withdrawal from the 2024 United States presidential election in a statement on social media. He endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris as his replacement as the Democratic Party's candidate in the election. Biden had announced he would run for re-election as president in the 2024 election, with Harris again as his running mate, back on April 25th, 2023. However, health concerns surrounding Biden emerged during his presidency, primarily about his age and ability to carry out a second term. These concerns spiked in June 2024 following a debate between Biden and Republican Party candidate Donald Trump. Biden's performance was widely criticized, with commentators saying he frequently lost his train of thought and gave meandering answers, had a faltering appearance, spoke with a hoarse voice, and failed to recall statistics or coherently express an opinion on several occasions. Biden subsequently faced calls to withdraw from the race from fellow Democrats and the editorial boards of several major news outlets. By July 19th, more than 30 senior Democrats had called for him to withdraw. Despite numerous calls for him to withdraw, Biden repeatedly insisted he would remain a candidate. However, on July 21st, a signed letter was posted to his X account withdrawing his candidacy, writing that this was in the best interest of my party and the country, and it was announced to us the day before. Biden was the first incumbent president since Lyndon B. Johnson in 1968 to withdraw from the race, the first since the 1800s to withdraw after serving only one term, and the first ever to withdraw after already winning the primaries. James, as I have noted last week, are you not entertained? I have to say I'm a little entertained by this, as none of this has ever happened in my lifetime, James. And the Democrats, like in 1968, I imagine they're going to tear each other apart at their DNC in Chicago again, like it was in 1968. I don't think we got the chance to talk about Hulk Hogan showing up at the Republican National Convention. There's a lot of clown world going on. Too much to cram into New World Next Week episodes, James. Biden is giving a Oval Office speech as we speak. I would not be surprised if he just straight up quits altogether. And it's, again, been an interesting last couple of weeks. Rishi Sunak's gone from the UK. Now Brandon's gone from the US. But man, Trudeau is just, he's hanging tough, James.
Evidently. Well, there you go. The script writers for this week's edition of As the Cave Wall Turns really know how to draw the viewers in. Yeah, exciting, interesting stuff, and people can speculate away. I wouldn't even venture to guess where the script writers are taking this selection race and what they have written into the voting machines for November 5th or whatever it is. You know it's already written. You know it's already scripted out, so we're just watching whatever they're putting in front of us. But meanwhile, as people know, cave wall stuff, shadows. So who's casting the shadows? Well, here's something that took place earlier this week that might be a little bit more to the point. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu addresses U.S. Congress. So, again, vote Coke, vote Pepsi. You know that Middle East foreign policy ain't going to change one iota. And as an example of that, you had, of course, both the Cokes and the Pepsi showing up and dressing up. You got Fetterman dressing in a suit. Wow. You can tell he really actually respects this particular politician critter. I wonder if that indicates something about power. Anyway, and guess what Netanyahu's talking about? You know what we need? You have that European Security Alliance that you guys created in the wake of World War II, that NATO thing? Well, we need something like that for the Middle East. We'll call it the Abraham Alliance. And it'll all be geared towards getting Iran. Yay! And everyone cheers on command. So, there you go. That's real politics. The shadow on the cave wall stuff. Fascinating stuff. Get your popcorn, speculate away, but it will change nothing about your actual life.
there appear to be what some might call an insurrection in D.C. today, as a bunch of pro-Palestine protesters spray-painted the Capitol, crawled all over stuff, breaking things. It's, again, it's the same sort of story, James. This is, you and I, we talk about The Simpsons sometimes when the camera isn't rolling. And it reached the point long time ago where it's like, you've already done this story. Now you're just putting Marge in the different situation. You've already had Bart do the exact same story. They just keep playing out these roles, James. So this going on in D.C. pretty much the last couple of hours, this is still snapping on the aforementioned X, pretty trending a lot. Again, the speculation. Netanyahu comes to town. Brandon suddenly quits. Everybody kumbayas together for maybe when the real power rolls into town. James, I'll keep an eye on the tweet feed while we produce this episode to see if suddenly he was like, yep, he quit, I told you. Is this real world or is this exercise? This is New World Next Week, episode 563, and as we ask that question, you've been CrowdStrike struck. Online conspiracy theories abound after major global IT crash. Again, fill in the blank. Major conspiracy theories abound after this thing we've been conspiratorial about happens. From fear-mongering about a looming they put World War III in quotes as though it's some bizarre thing we've never heard of before. This coming from France24.com. From fear-mongering about a looming World War III to false narratives linking a cabal of global elite to a cyber attack, a BitTorrent of online conspiracy theories took off last Friday after a major IT crash. Again, James, a bit of things have accelerated. It used to be nothing ever happened on the weekends because no one would ever be paying attention at all. Now it seems, especially these last couple of weeks, massive earth-changing stories happen. On a Saturday morning? Because they want a lot of eyes on the devices, I believe. Airlines, banks, TV, and financial institutions were engulfed in turmoil after the crash, one of the biggest in recent years that was the result of a faulty software upgrade to an antivirus program operating on Microsoft Windows. The proliferation of internet-breaking conspiracy theories on social media platforms, many of which have removed guardrails that once contained the spread of misinformation, illustrates the new normal of information chaos after a major world event. Hey, who did the new normal, huh? That wasn't me. The outage gave way to a swirl of evidence-free posts on X. This is just primo propaganda, James. The outage gave way to a swirl of evidence-free posts on X, the Elon Musk-owned site formerly known as Twitter, that peddled an apocalyptic narrative. The world was under attack by a nefarious force. I read somewhere that once World War III would be mostly a cyber war, one user wrote on Twitter. The IT crash also stirred up an unfounded theory that the World Economic Forum, long a magnet for wild falsehoods, had plotted a global cyber attack, and we won't tell you at all why people might make that accusation. To make that theory appear credible, many posts linked to an old World Economic Forum video that warned about the possibility of a cyber attack with COVID-like characteristics. The video, available on the World Economic Forum's website, had cautioned that the only way to stop the exponential spread of a cyber threat would be to disconnect millions of vulnerable devices from each other and the internet, maybe pulling some sort of kill switch. The WEF has long been a target for conspiracy theories pushing the idea that a shadowy cabal of global elites working for private gain under the garb of solving global issues, of which is the exact events that are taking place. And we won't tell you at all that they're a World Economic Forum partner. They could mention that page on their website as well, but they're not going to do that. Also gaining rapid traction online were conspiratorial posts. So that makes it sound like we're in on the conspiracy. I hate the use of that word, conspiratorial. Using the hashtag cyberpolygon, which they don't even put together as one word. They put out a cyberpolygon, which, as we know, doesn't work as a hashtag. A reference to a global training event aimed at preparing for potential future attacks. The proliferation of conspiracy theories in the wake of major global events such as the outage is a sad testament to the volatile nature of the information ecosystem, so says Rafi Mendelson, vice president at the disinformation security company Cyabra, talking to the AFP. James, one related note from the Sun. Written boarding passes. Blue screens of death and checkout chaos. World reacts to being in dark ages after tech outage. Banks, airlines, TV, and health systems down around the world. All that awesome stuff. It's a real bummer, James. Much like Texans in 9/11. I wouldn't have known anything had happened if it weren't for people crying about it on TV. What about you? Did you experience any personal turmoil through this?
I sure did. My harrowing story was I was on my way to McDonald's for my Big Mac, as usual. And when I got there, I found out it was closed because McDonald's shuts 30% of outlets in Japan over cash register glitch. Of course, I jest, obviously, but apparently that really happened. I haven't confirmed whether that story was related to the CrowdStrike thing, but it happened the same day. But no, I have heard from several people in Japan here who were working. It was actually during regular business hours, so there were people who said every single computer in their entire office went blue screen of death at the same time. It was crazy to watch. So, yes, it has affected a lot of people. Luckily, I'm not in the worky work world, and I wasn't traveling by plane, so it didn't directly affect me. But it absolutely did remind many, 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 many people why maybe it's not a good idea to put our entire lives, our entire infrastructure for everything that we do into the digital realm. Because what if, just imagine, what if that went down for an hour? A day, a weekend, a week. Ask people in Australia what it was like trying to buy groceries. Oh, wait, no, every single cash register in the country, down. It's just absolute insanity. But yes, the funniest part to me was reading that France 24 article you're quoting from there. And yeah, propaganda at its finest. After quoting that disinformation security expert, Rafi Mendelssohn, then they hit the real hard-hitting propaganda. Michael W. Mosser, executive director of the Global Disinformation Lab at the University of Texas at Austin, told AFP, "The level of trust that is required to accept information from reputable sources has declined to such an extent that people are more willing to believe wild conspiracies that must be true rather than the factual information relayed to them." There's just... They don't even hide it. It is so blatant and out in the open now that the fact that they believe at the core of their being that they can dictate reality to you. And if you don't accept it, you know, you're being a bad, bad citizen. You need to be retrained. So anyway, we all see that for the ridiculous propaganda that it is. And I can't believe that there's anyone who has their head screwed on straight who is swallowing that wholesale. But let's think about why. Why is it that the level of trust that is required to accept information from these mainstream sources, why could that possibly have gone down in the past couple of decades? I mean, could it have anything to do with Iraq war, global financial collapse, the NATO bombardment of Libya, and all of this other crap that we've seen over the past couple of decades, lie after lie after lie? No, nothing to do with that, right? Anyway, that image of the boarding pass, the handwritten boarding pass, for whatever reason, I didn't fall off the turn of the truck yesterday. I think and talk about this stuff all the time. But that image was like an arrow through the brain for me. Like, oh yeah, people used to actually write things by hand. There used to be paper, an actual, you know, pen and paper of people keeping track of things the old-fashioned way. And when all of this digital infrastructure falls, guess what we have to go back to? Actual human communication and tracking. And this is how we keep track of things. Anyway, that was just, it's a beautiful thing to see, actually. An actual human-ridden boarding pass. And I don't know why, but that image in particular struck me. Anyway, hey, maybe at the very least it's shaken a few people out of their complacency and got them to think about, maybe we shouldn't be putting our entire lives in the digital infrastructure. Maybe we shouldn't be going completely cashless. What do you think?
It's not their clutching of pearls over the loss of trust. It's, to me, it's their feigned, what? we don't understand why this could have possibly happened. Again, they won't take an extra sentence to say, well, maybe trust was destroyed a little bit by weapons of mass. You've seen the meme a million times when people ask me why I believe in conspiracy theories, going through all the drawers of all the proof and MK Ultra and Tuskegee syphilis and decades and piles of truths. Like, this is probably why.
Yeah, and thank you for pointing out World War III. Like, yeah, whoa, World War III? What is this crazy concept you guys have just invented out of thin air? I've never heard of that before.
and we the baddies, we invented the World War III. It's totally our fault and our doing. James, this CrowdStrike thing, I think, was another weekend event. I wasn't even thinking about it when I was talking about Brandon quitting on Sunday. CrowdStrike to me was a Saturday weekend kind of event. I do have some super smart, savvy, high-level IT, information technology people in the Media Monarchy community. And some of those folks were talking about the extra workload that hit. But some of their places, and I know some of my members are basically saying, my place didn't go down because we are 98% on-premise, meaning we host our servers and we're not at the mercy of what may or may not be some weird World Economic Forum partner. So again, that was kind of cool. Just again, seeing people within their own scenes, within their own trade saying, I know how this stuff works. They're lying about their fixes and they only get proven right time and time again. James, our third and final story on this New World next week, with AI, jets, and police squadrons, Paris is securing the Olympics and worrying critics. This from the Associated Press, another event about to kick off here over the weekend. A year ago, the head of the Paris Olympics boldly declared that France's capital would be the safest place in the world when the games open this Friday. Tony Estanguet's confident forecast looks far less far-fetched now, with squadrons of police patrolling Paris streets, fighter jets and soldiers primed to scramble, and imposing metal security barriers erected like an iron curtain. They love those. Again, it's okay when they do the iron curtain. This is on both sides of the River Seine that will star in the opening show. It'll be like a Beyoncé celebrating the militarized police state at the Super Bowl halftime, I guess. France's vast police and military operations is in large part because the July 26th to August 11th, my birthday, games face unprecedented security challenges. The city has repeatedly suffered deadly extremist attacks, and international tensions are high because of the wars for Israel in Ukraine and Gaza. Rather than build an Olympic park with venues grouped together outside of the city center, like Rio in 2016 or London in 2012, Paris has chosen to host many of the events centralized in the heart of the bustling capital of 2 million inhabitants, with others dotted around the suburbs that house millions more. Again, thanks, government. Thanks for putting your highly prized military targets right next to the regular people. Putting temporary sports arenas in public spaces and the unprecedented choice to stage a riverborne opening ceremony stretching for kilometers along the Seine makes safeguarding them more complex. Hopefully they don't have any of those tilted roofs, James. You were thinking that too. Or Olympic organizers also have cyber attack concerns, while rights campaigners and games critics are worried about Paris's use of AI-equipped surveillance technology and the broad scope and scale of Olympic security. Paris, in short, has a lot riding on keeping 10,500 doped-up roid rage trans athletes and millions of warp-speed vaxxed visitors safe. James, 1,000 people suspected of spying have been blocked from the Olympics. French officials say this, also from the AP. 3 days before the start of the 2024 Olympics, France's interior minister said about 1,000 people suspected of possibly meddling for a foreign power have been blocked from attending the Olympics, one of the security challenges that Paris is cracking down on in its goal to keep the game safe for athletes and fans. About 1 million background checks have scrutinized Olympic volunteers, workers, Bohemian Grove employees who just got a job there a couple of months ago, and others involved in the games, as well as those applying for passes to enter the most tightly controlled security zone in Paris. I would assume tons and tons and tons of media. Along the banks of the Seine, ahead of the opening ceremony on the river Friday, the checks blocked about 5,000 people from attending, Interior Minister Gérard Darmanin said Tuesday. out of them, there are 1,000 people of whom we suspect of foreign interference. We can say spying. Darmanin, who is staying on in a caretaker role until a new government is formed following legislative elections last month that denied President Emmanuel Macron's centrist coalition a majority, has repeatedly pointed to suspicions of, say it with me, Russia-backed interference. James, those elections actually this month when we were talking about all the bums being thrown out. Given the way things are looking in the world, and especially given France's historical involvement in war. James, here's another Wikipedia page for you. List of wars involving France. I mean, they're currently genociding Yemen, Iraq, Syria, and Libya for years. I would say a conveniently primed attack is more likely than Olympic skateboarding getting much TV airtime at the Triumph of the Ill Feats of Strength show, James.
You know, I think you're probably right in that assessment, but hey, do not take my word for it. I have correctly predicted about, I don't know, 7 of the past 0 Olympic false flag events. So, I mean, every Olympics, there's always the suggestion, well, a big stage terror incident would certainly do something, wouldn't it? But you're exactly right. I mean, not only are they already setting the stage for this with, oh, we've already stopped 1,000 spies from getting in and foreign interference and, you know, background checks. And not only is this the chance to show the AI drone surveillance grid state at work, but it's also politically potentially a great moment in time to gin up something with the Russian boogeyman, or hey, why not throw something else, Chinese boogeyman or something, into the mix. And plus, as you say, it's in France where there are no shortage of staged terror events anyway. So I'm just saying it, you know, I think you're right. It does sort of add up, and I would have my eyes on this if only for that. I guess it only just puts me in mind of the fact that I missed the 1988 Calgary Winter Olympics when that came to town because my parents didn't see fit to take me. And in 2020, I was going to go, at the very least, to go report on the Tokyo Olympics. But that didn't happen. So good luck, Parisians. I guess you get to see, you have front row seats for whatever may or may not be taking place there in the near future.
James, I have maintained in these years since that we got on, like Marty showing up in the bad 1985, when we deviated from what Akira had prophesized about the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. When we deviated from that, man, I think we really got on a bad timeline. And yeah, this is our one sort of future forecasting segment on this episode, as again, many events are happening that force us to react and talk about the shot at President Trump or the quitting of President Biden. And yeah, with all the surveillance and just the police state of it all, while they're trying to, you know, act like they're doing something good. I haven't been this disappointed in the Olympics since the Arctic Monkeys played the London opening ceremony, James. But that's how we do it on New World Next Week, episode 563. James, we have newworldnextweek.com as the source for Corbett Report DVDs and USBs. It's got Corbett and Monarchy shirts and just a great way to support our work, which you might note has never had an advertisement in our combined 30-plus years of work. James, you are taking some time off coming up soon. We're going to do one more, maybe?
Maybe. I think we'll be back for next week. But anyway, I'll let people know one way or another.
Okay. Okie doke. I think that's it, buddy. New World Next Week, 563. Right. I appreciate you, man.
Excellent. Thank you for the stories. Looking forward to doing it again. Take care.
Yep, you too.